Last night these two bouncers and one of them's alright. The other one's a scary and his way or no way, totalitarian. He's got no time for you, looking or breathing how he don't want you to. So step out the queue, he makes examples of you. And there's no way you can say behind the go through to the bit where you pay. And you realise then that it's finally the time to walk back past 10,000 eyes in a line. And you can swap jumpers and make another move. It's still in your brain, you've got something to prove to all the smirking faces and the boys in black. Why can't they be pleasant? Why can't they have a laugh? He's got his hand in your chest, he wants to give you a dub. But secretly I think he wants you all to kick off. He wants outside everywhere and balls as well. It's just something to talk about, a story to tell you.
Settling. stomach into knots.
Older, but much the same as he was.
WMFO, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Come away from it empty of butter. The Massachusetts Department of Fire Services encourages you to beat the beep. Carbon monoxide alarms have been required in nearly every residence since March of 2006. Did you know that the life expectancy of these alarms are only 5 to 7 years, depending on the manufacturer? Many detectors installed after the state's carbon monoxide law was passed are now reaching the end of their useful life and need to be replaced. One sign that a carbon monoxide alarm should be replaced is a chirping sound that sounds until the unit is powered off. This chirping sound will continue even after new batteries have been installed. Models with the digital readout will show an ERR or E09 or end message in the display. The purpose of Beat the Beep campaign is to alert residents that their carbon monoxide alarms may be reaching the end of their life cycles and should be replaced before the beeps indicate the end of the life of the detector. This public safety message brought to you by the Massachusetts Department of Fire Services, your local fire department, and your friends at WMFO.
Thank you. someone else.
Nice.
the sun was shining, I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed at all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress, Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. And I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast, Lord knows I paid some dues, getting through, tangled up in blue. She was married when we first met, soon to be divorced. I helped her out of a jam, I guess, but I used a little too much force. We drove that car as far as we could, abandoned it out west, split up on the docks at night, both agreeing it was best. And she turned around to look at me as I was walking away. I heard her say over my shoulder, we'll meet again someday on the avenue. Job in the great north woods, working as a cook for a spell, but I never did like it all that much, and one day the axe just fell. So I drifted down to New Orleans, where I lucky with a be employed, working for a while on a fishing boat right outside of Delacroix. But all the while I was alone, the past was close behind. I seen a lot of women, but she never escaped my mind, and I just grew this place, and I stopped in for a beer. I just kept looking at the side of her face in the spotlight so clear. Later on when the crowd thinned out, I was just about to do the same. She was standing there in back of my chair. I said to me, don't I know your name? I muttered something underneath my breath. She studied the lines of my face. I must admit, felt a little uneasy when she bent down to tie the laces of my shoes. Blue. She lit a burner on the stove and offered me a pipe. I thought you'd never say hello, she said, you look like a silent type. And she opened up a book of poems and handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 13th century. One of them words rang true and glowed like burning coal, pouring off of every page like it was written in my soul. But me to you, time to love you blue. I lived with him on Montague Street, a basement down the stairs. That was music in the cafes at night and revolution in the air. Then he started into dealing with slaves and something inside of him died. She had to sell everything she owned and froze up inside. And when it finally, the bottom fell out, I became withdrawn. The only thing I knew how to do was to keep on keeping on like a bird that flew. To get to her somehow.
Lawrence Lessig, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM and WMFO.org on the web. Tufts Freeform and Educational Radio.
Assume myself farther from it all.